Well, it is Advent, and it is time of waiting and hoping and anticipation. And for some of us, it's a time for finding wholeness and getting in shape. I know that after I ate yesterday, I decided that I was going to start really watching what I was eating, start exercising more. And a few of us have even talked about it this morning, how people are kind of getting into that mode so that the holidays don't whip us, we whip the holidays into shape. So I remember when I was thinking about this, how Trevor and I, a couple years ago, we decided to take a yoga class. He wanted to do it and I wanted to do it. And it was a hot yoga class. And so we were in Midtown. It was this hot yoga place. I said, "What do you think?" And he says, "It sounds good to me." So we went in and I looked around, and so it was really, really hot. Has anybody ever done it? 105 degrees with 50% humidity. And very fast-paced yoga. So as the doors closed and I could see all the steam in and see what I was in for, I asked the lady that was a teacher, I said, "You know, if this is not for me, is it okay if I leave?" And she said, "No, we would prefer you to stay." And I go, "Okay." And so I went ahead and jumped right into it, and I was very much out of shape at the time. Trevor was a little more in shape than I was. And so after we'd gotten into it, about 15 minutes in, I started looking around. Everybody was sweating, and I don't sweat. I overheat. And so I started feeling myself overheating. And because I didn't have anything to cool me down, I got some Trevor's water, and I squirted it all over my face, and the teacher just kind of looked at me like that. And just like, get back in line and get going on this. So I did that for a while, and I started feeling kind of uncomfortable. And again, I don't perspire, so I wasn't able to kind of cool down. But I wanted the yoga to clear my head. I was going through a time, and so was Trevor, where we just had a lot going on. We had a lot of stress, and we were trying to find some peace. And we heard yoga was a way to do it. Yoga, taking some yoga can help calm you down and help get you centered and can also help you kind of get in shape. And so for all those reasons, we decided to take it. But peace was not found that day. And I, as the class was ending, I can't tell you how quickly I wanted to run out of the room. I wanted to get out of it. All these people were there, and there was steam in the room, and they were all into it and all laying around in their sweat. And I decided, this is hell. This is what hell is like. You can't get out. It's hot as hell, and all these people are sweating profusely. And the lady, you know what her name was, the teacher that wouldn't let me out? Her name was Lucy. Lucifer. And so I'm just saying, it was Lucifer. That was her name, because she was so hateful and mean, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. And not only did I not find any peace, I had lost all hope of peace for some time. Now, Trevor went back later on. He thought it was great, but I thought it was horrible. I went in because I had a splintered soul. Have you ever had a splintered soul when you just feel splintered? You're not broken yet, but you feel like if you don't get some relief, that you'll become broken. And I was kind of at that place, and it almost broke me. But fortunately, I got out of there in time, and I never went back to see Miss Lucifer. But there is a poem that talks about peace. And it says this. It says, "If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, and if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, and if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, and if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without alcohol, and if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, then you are probably the family dog." So peace can be hard to find, can it not? We all want more peace on this earth, don't we? I mean, we could use more peace. And peace around us and peace in us, too, not just our surroundings, but in us. And it is hard to find, and when you have it sometimes, it's hard to hold on to. But what I have found in my ministry is the one thing that people want the most is P-E-A-C-E, right? With respect, yes, but P-E-A-C-E. People are looking for peace, the peace that passes all understanding, only the Savior can give. And so let us hear right now from the Word of God, and he's going to be reading from the Old Testament and the New Testament about peace.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 26. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. And now from first chapter of Luke. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that he would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
So the reading from Luke came from very fearful times. It was not peaceful at all. Herod the Great was in rule, was very ruthless, and he was very narcissistic, and he always wanted everything for himself. And he gave himself the title of the King of the Jews, but then he lost his peace of mind when he found out that there was this baby born with the same name, that they were giving him the same title. So he went out for revenge. Not a nice guy. And so the reading from Luke and Zechariah's great hymn of prophecy is what it is called. It's a great hymn of prophecy. His wife, Elizabeth, as you may recall, had tried to have a child and was barren and was older in years. But the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah and announces that they will have a son, John the Baptist. And we all know what John the Baptist did. John Baptist made the way, and he was there to baptize Christ Jesus into the world. And so he helped make a way for the Messiah. And it is a hymn of prophecy and praise and thanksgiving that blesses God's creation through Jesus Christ, that it will be a very healing peace will come over the world and the land. So with all the violence and division in the world today, we pray for something like this to certainly occur. We hope for healing peace to come over our land. And more at Christmas, I believe we want and hope for something better, because we know that we all have a lot of division, we have a lot of wars, and there are a lot of peace killers in our own lives that are more personal to us and up close with us. And some of the peace killers that come out are, and it's particularly bad when during the hectic time of Christmas. Some of the peace killers are money. Money is one of them. We worry about money. We worry about costs of medical costs. Will you be able to pay for that pill that you need that keeps going up and up and up? Will you be able to even afford it on a monthly basis? And how about those student loans for the millennials that are coming up in the world? How's that working out for you? Peace killers. Health is another peace killer. We all worry about our health. The older we get, we worry about it. Will we be able to take care of those costs? Will we be able to take care of ourselves? And who's going to help us when we get sick? And also, will we be able to afford it? Social Security, will Social Security run out? Will we be able to last long enough or die soon enough? Or will we need to have a part-time job? And then, as we've mentioned today, family and friend difficulties is one of the big peace killers. If you're not getting along with family or good friends or even somebody at work, it really is disruptive. It's chaotic. It really gets you to your core. You go over what you said to them, what they said to you, and you play the victim, and then you say what you wish you had said, and so it goes on and on. And there's nothing worse than someone who will rob you of your peace with a sharp tongue. Mean-spirited people who only care about themselves, unfair, Someone you used to love and trust, they're robbers, and will steal you of your peace, and they'll throw you under the bus. And then there's people, as we've talked about also today, about grieving. And it's that time of year. Steve and I were talking about it earlier, how so many people are grieving right now. It's the first time many people have been without their loved ones this Thanksgiving, many in this room. And even if it's been several years, we still think about our loved ones, and it's difficult. And it can steal some of your peace as well. And any fear of any kind can steal our peace. Fear of failure, fear of loneliness, and it goes on and on. And we've said before, too many of us are not living our dreams because we are living our fears. And we should not. I was watching just this morning, I don't know if anybody else caught it, but I always watch some of these the morning shows, Sunday shows in the morning, and I saw Anthony Hopkins. Anybody see this interview? Anthony Hopkins was being interviewed. Famous British actor, one of the best actors in the world in my mind. He's one of my all-time favorites. He was on the Sunday morning CBS show, and he was being interviewed, and when I walked in, he was talking about how he grew up. When he grew up, he was atheist. When he was a kid, he just didn't believe in anything. And he went like that for many, many years as he was growing up. And as a young adult, he didn't believe in anything. But he was miserable. He said he was miserable. He drank all the time. He just couldn't get a job, couldn't keep a job. He hated his life, and he was miserable. And then one day, he went to God. He'd never really prayed before, but he went to God because he was desperate, because he knew he could not continue to drink and go to jail and drink and go to jail. So he prayed to God. And God took away his desire to drink. And so, and you know, Anthony Hopkins, a pretty level-headed guy. He was just calmly telling the story. And so the lady that was interviewing him said, well, do you think it was divine intervention? And he thought about it, and he said, absolutely, it was a divine intervention. And you can see what God did with his life. Of course, God did that for him, took that away, and look at what he's become and how many people he's inspired with his work. But that's just one example of the gift of peace that was given to him by God. It was a gift. And yes, life gets in the way of peace, but the Christmas story is a story about how we find peace. It's a story about how God delivered peace through Jesus Christ. It's a story that reminds us that our hearts long for peace. And so God knows that because God designed us that way. So he knew that we would need a Savior to give us what we needed. And that is peace. The power of the Holy Spirit is how we get that peace. Can't really, you can earn it, and you can have it when you get a new job, and when you get a certain amount of money, you can find some peace too. But that real lasting peace comes from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we have heard from the New Testament, Luke describes who Jesus will be to us in verses 78 and 79. He says, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn on high will break open upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. So I love the way peace and light are used there, because to me they're interchangeable. Light and peace go together. When we have peace, then light comes in. If we walk towards the light, we will eventually find peace. And I'm speaking of the light of Christ. Now you may have heard, and I've shared it before, but it's just such a wonderful story. You may have heard about the infamous Christmas Eve during the First World War, where all the soldiers are out and it's Christmas Eve, and they decide to stop shooting. They put their guns down. And so as they do this, some of the troops emerge, and they're a little reluctant to emerge, and they go out and they fix some things that need to be fixing. Some of them bury the dead around them. And after that was done, and that was some of the German soldiers, lit some lanterns and held them up. And they began to sing Christmas carols. They began to sing Christmas carols in the middle of this war. And the British men applauded and shouted Christmas cheers back to them. And then, you know, how war is. War is the darkest place ever. I've never been in war, but just to hear the stories out of it, war is about as dark as it gets. And they were in the middle of this dark place, with lanterns lit, and the Spirit of Christ shined in the hearts of those who had just been enemies. And the next day on Christmas Day, they all get together. They shake each other's hands. They share bread together and food together. They give each other gifts. They'd just been shooting each other. But Christmas brought them together. Light will be given to those who sit in darkness, the scripture says. And so the French and the British and the German troops all came together for that night and exchanged gifts and shared a Christmas truce, which is what it is referred to. And the ones that went through that would never forget that one night that fueled the inner longing to have lasting peace. Not just a little peace, but have lasting peace that can bring people, bring men and women together like that. Beautiful story of real Christmas peace and Christmas light. And in Isaiah's prophecy of coming of the Messiah, we read he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Probably my favorite name for Jesus Christ is Prince of Peace. So how do we receive peace? Well, the 26th chapter tells us just a few verses that we read today, and in those two verses, we're told how to get peace. Little secrets in there. It's a little, three secrets in there, because a lot of people kind of go glide right over it. But then the third and fourth verse, we find directions to find peace. Just these two verses. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is everlasting strength. So let's break it down. In that place, in the first of all, the 26th chapter written as a song for the people of Israel about repentance and return to the Lord, because the people of Jerusalem had abandoned the religion. They had become away from the religion, and like Anthony Hopkins discovered that when he didn't have anything bigger to grab hold of, that his life fell apart. And so they were finding the same thing. So they finally found the only source of peace during turmoil was God. So here's the first secret. The first secret to this kind of peace, according to Isaiah, is to keep our minds on God. Just keep our minds on God. So you can imagine going through your day, as we all do, and a lot of times we don't even think about God. Even as a minister, I'm just thinking about the next thing I need to do and my laundry list of things I need to do. And, you know, you can go days sometimes and you're just not always thinking about God. What it says is you keep your mind on God and peace will not slip away. Have an attitude of God. And if we weave God in and out of our days and our thoughts and our minds, in each corner of our minds, we have God in there, that peace will be there and we'll be much more apt to find God when we need God. And another way of doing it is gratitude turns to peace. Just like we celebrated Thanksgiving just a few days ago. Gratitude is a wonderful way of keeping God in our minds, and that turns into peace. When we come to worship regularly and make worship a priority, we come closer to God as we worship and praise. We have our minds on God. I don't know about you, but I feel more peaceful after I leave worship. I'm so glad I came to worship. I may be tired when I walk in, this, that, or the other, but when I leave, I feel better. And people who don't go to church even non-regularly, maybe once or twice a year, hear them always say that Sundays are kind of a depressing blue day. I wonder why. But God draws near to us when we draw near to God. So keep God in your mind. Second secret, have a heart filled with trust, the scripture tells us. Don't just trust yourself. Don't just trust other people, but put your real trust in God. We cannot predict the future. We don't know what's going to happen, but we worry about it, don't we? What's going to go on, and what so-and-so is going to do, or how it's all going to be played out. We wear ourselves out, and we have no peace. We rob our own self of peace. So what Scripture is telling us to do is to give it to God, to trust in God alone. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge God, and God shall direct your paths." Third secret, This is in verse 4. Trust the Lord forever, for the Lord is your everlasting strength. The word trust there means to lean on his strength. So we're told to lean on the strength of God here, to lean on God's strength. And we so many times try to find ways to prop ourselves up to get through it, like Anthony Hopkins, going back to him, his alcohol, he tried to lean on that. He leaned on everything and he couldn't find it. We need to lean on God more. And sometimes I find myself not doing it. Even as a minister, I try fixing it. We're fix-it people. You know, we want to get it done and fix it. And let me make a call. Let me do a few things. Let me move some money around. Let me do this, that, or the other. Sometimes it is so big. We just need to lean on God and lean on God's strength. And we need to call on the Holy Spirit in times like this, because the Holy Spirit loves to be beckoned. Loves to be called on, and we don't do it enough. Maybe it sounds weird to us, come Holy Spirit, come. But I'm telling you, you do that enough times, and the Holy Spirit will bring you the peace that you're looking for. And I would encourage you that during these next few weeks, as we go through Advent and to Christmas Day, to call on the Holy Spirit, to call on God, and do these things. Let our minds be on Christ. Trust God and lean on God, not yourself so much. You think you can do that? Those are three really easy things. So I hope that we're able to do that. Let God be your rock and your salvation. Like the hymn says, rock of ages cleft in me. Let me hide myself in thee. When you have gone through a tremendous loss or trauma and you are worried about tomorrow, don't try to carry it yourself. Give it to the Prince of Peace. That is what Christmas is all about, and that is why we're here today. Amen.